إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. وبعد، respected brothers, sisters, students, the topic for today, which is, Yaqub didn't mention the title of the topic, what's love? What is it? What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? By the way, if you were expecting Tina Turner to come and sing a song for you, then I'm afraid you've got the wrong person. And you might be wondering, how do I know about this? I was actually just on the internet today, just checking, so I've never heard the song. The question, what's love got to do with it? It depends on what it is referring to. It depends on what it is referring to. What's love got to do with it? If it refers to a lawful relationship, then it's got nothing to do with it. If love, if it means something else besides nikah and marriage, then without a doubt, love's got nothing whatsoever to do with it. Because the hadith, the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he states quite clearly that, and this is a hadith narrated in the Sunan of Imam Ibn Majah with a sound chain of narration, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَمْ تَرَ لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ لَمْ تَرَ لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلَ النِّكَاحِ. You will not find, or there is nothing that creates more love. If you understand the meaning of love, there is nothing that creates more love than marriage and nikah. This is a clear hadith, saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means there is no doubt in this particular statement that there is nothing that creates more love between two people, between a man and a woman, than marriage. Marriage is something that creates the most love than anything and everything else, any other relationship, any other bond and any other tie and any other connection between two people. The type, the love that the relationship of marriage creates, that is not created by anything. So therefore, if you say, what's love got to do with it, if it depends on what it refers to, if it's referring to nikah and marriage, then without doubt, love has everything to do with it. But people sometimes ask, and I've been asked this question many times, and I've got an answer on this as well on the website, where somebody came and asked that, I don't have any feelings before marriage. We don't understand, what's all this arranged marriages and, especially the non-Muslims, they haven't really understood the concept of arranged marriages. There's a difference between arranged marriages and forced marriages. Islam totally rejects forced marriages, as you know, you should know. Ultimately, the choices of the man and the woman, who they want to marry. But people help and assist, that's called arranging, no problem. This is somebody we find for you. If you want to get married to them, then get married to them. If not, and you don't like the person, then that's up to you, it's not a problem. So, marriage, not having feelings before marriage. The issue here is that in Islam, marriage and nikah itself creates love. Itself. If nikah is done, if marriage is done according to the guidelines given by the Quran and Sunnah, if nikah is done and carried out and implemented and contracted according to the guidance given by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, if a marriage was conducted and contracted according to the guidance of the Messenger of Allah, then without doubt that marriage will create love between the spouses, between the husband and the wife. And this love will actually grow. The more time you spend in the marriage, the love will grow. And you will see an 85-year-old man and an 84-year-old woman, the type of love they have, nobody knows youngster. Really, if you see two old people, all their life they spend together. Nowadays people can't even spend 2 days together. Just recently somebody called me, they just got married 2 months and it's over. Well, they're trying to sort of divorce. Divorces at a rate that was never seen before. Why? Because it's the marriage, the nikah, is not conducted according to the guidance given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're starting off on the wrong foot. In order for you to have blessings in marriage and a peaceful marriage, a marriage that has contentment of the heart, a marriage that has peace in it and tranquility, and that has the peace, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that we have created from you your spouses so that you have peace, you have tranquility in your lives, and your ultimate intention and aim and goal to get married was number one. There are many, many reasons, and I will just mention one or two of them. But the ultimate aim and goal and objective and purpose for you to marry is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we do in this world, everything, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we do business, we study, we marry. The problem today is that marriage has become like a routine thing. It's like more of a cultural thing rather than an Islamic thing. Marriage is an ibadah. According to Islam, marriage is ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that marriage is like prayer. The way we pray, we worship Allah, marriage is also worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a form of ibadah. That's why the scholars mentioned that there are only two forms of worship that started since time began and will also carry on in Jannah, in paradise. What are the two things? There's nothing else, and in reality it's only one, but they've mentioned two. There's no prayer after we pass away. No zakat, no hajj, no umrah, no fasting, no Ramadan, no taraweeh, nothing. But since time began from the Prophet Sayyiduna Adam alayhi as-salam, peace be upon him, every single Prophet's time, the command and the ibadah and the worship of marriage was given, all the way to today, until the day of judgment and even in Jannah. One is Iman, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is also a form of ibadah, and number two, marriage. So marriage also exists in Jannah. So it's a form of worship. And great importance has been given to marriage, but the problem nowadays, I mean now the reality has become such that people are afraid to get married. So as I was saying, that if a marriage is conducted according to the guidelines of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this marriage nikah will create love. Like the hadith says, there is nothing that creates more love than marriage and nikah. And therefore not having feelings or love before marriage, that's completely natural, normal. You're not supposed to have feelings before marriage. It starts only after marriage. And as you carry on and as you go on, the feelings will become strong and you will have a better bond and tie, and your love will grow more and increase. And this is why, you know, some of them said that according to the West, in the West, they say love is a madness. I heard this from somebody. He said, love is a madness that ends with marriage. And according to Islam, love is madness that only starts and begins with marriage. According to Islam, it only starts after marriage. Anything before that, it's not love. You're deceived. It's lust, it's passion, it's, I don't know what it is. It's like the fizz of the coke. You know, you just shake the coke bottle and then you open the top of the coke bottle. There'll be some fizz within a few days, weeks, months, 1 year, 2 year relationship, and then you're bored and then you're gone. You don't want to see the other person. People have done that. So this is, we need to remember that according to Islam, nikah creates love. But it's not passion, it's not desire. There will be a bit of passion and lust at the beginning. But really, in reality, we need love. And that love is everlasting, it will grow. And it should only be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الحب في الله والبغض في الله. من أحب لله أبغض لله ومنع لله وأعطى لله فقد استكمل إيمانه. The one who loves only for Allah, the one who dislikes for the sake of Allah, the one who gives for the sake of Allah, the one who withholds for the sake of Allah, then that person, that human being, his iman and faith has been completed. Okay, so even the love, when you love your husband, when you love your wife, when you love your children, it is only for the sake of Allah, not even for them. You might be understanding, what am I saying, not for them? It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has informed us and ordered us and commanded us that we love our spouses, our children, our parents, our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, and also all of humanity. This is the reason why we love everybody. It should only be for the sake of Allah. And once we get that in our head, in our mind, and we understand this concept properly, then this will actually help our marriage. And there's great importance in Islam given to marriage. The problem today is that now people, in this day and age, there are so many people, and I've come across so many, who are afraid to get married because of all the negative, you know, marriages, the negative implications they've seen on the various marriages of people around them, their family, their brothers, their sisters. Big problem. People are in their late 20s and they're not still married. I'm not saying that's wrong. There may be somebody here who's in their late 20s, probably not married, so excuse me. But it depends on the person, but there are people. There was a sister who called me, I think 2-3 weeks ago. She's 40 years old and she hasn't been able to find a person to get married to. She's 40 years old. She says there's so many people that nobody wants to marry her. Brothers don't want to marry sisters, they just, and sisters as well, they want to delay it sometimes. There is so much importance given. This whole culture and society we live in, it's a culture based on, you know, illicit relationship, fornication, and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that there is no nation that involves themselves in fornication. Never does fornication become prevalent in a nation except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger and wrath descends upon that nation. And this anger and wrath, in terms of, in many, many, many ways and shapes and forms, illnesses, sicknesses, diseases, and we all know the various diseases that, you know, are created because of unlawful relationship. Also many problems, like look at the children of the Muslim, you know, parents. The husband has separated, the wife has separated, divorce took place. The parents, there are so many children today who don't know who their father is. Not just that this is wrong and bad and evil, but this is actually an oppression, zulm, and being unjust on the son and on the child. That a child doesn't know who the father is. But the whole society, the culture, is such that, you know, have an unlawful relationship. Marriage, we'll think about it later on. Marriage. And the whole, you know, the media, the way the media has portrayed this whole thing, you know, when you watch soaps, not that you're supposed to watch soaps, and shampoos, sorry. When you watch soaps, marriages are boring. When you watch soaps, what happens? Coronation Street and this street and that street. I know a few names that I've heard. Oh. But the way even these soap operas are portrayed, that marriage is always dull, boring, you know. Fun and excitement is when it's unlawful relationship taking place. Astaghfirullah. This is the way the media has promoted fornication. It's okay, have fun, you know, having fun in an illicit and lawful way. And this is what we are made to believe, that marriages are boring, dull. You know, you're at home, boring husband, wife, it's a boring relationship. Why do you think like that for? Why don't you make your marriage exciting? And the hadith and the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear. There are many, many ways and shapes and forms of having that bond and that attachment between a husband and a wife. So this problem that many people, they just want to delay marriage. This is a culture society that's coming up more and more, that people are not even really willing to marry. Because the main reason why is because they don't want responsibilities. Marriage brings with it responsibility, as you know. Everything in this world, you can't only have good and pleasure, that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Surah Al-Nashra, we read many times in our salah and prayer. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Two times. Verily with ease and difficulty, there is pleasure and there's comfort and there's good as well. Only Jannah, paradise, is a place where there's just pleasure and no responsibilities, no difficulties, no problems, nothing. And only Jahannam, hellfire is where it's just problems, difficulty, distress and punishment and that's it. Peace only, fully, completely, totally in Jannah, and Jahannam is all just distress. This world has been created in order that we deal with both good and bad. We have peace and tranquility, the good things, as well as we have a bit of difficulties in life. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fashioned this world. So with marriage as well. And even in marriage, these responsibilities. We have the pleasure of, you know, peace and tranquility and enjoying the company of the spouse and all the different benefits of marriage that are there. But at the same time, you can't just have the benefit and that's it. You just turn your back and, you know, just go like, one done, thank you ma'am, and finish. It's not like that. You know, somebody said about secret marriages, bam bam, thank you imam. I just remember that. There was a title in one of these magazines. So that's another topic, secret marriages, and I don't want to go into that topic. It's a very common question. Literally hundreds of people are spoken to over the phone, talking to me about the secret marriages. They want to get married, but the problem is not just even the youngsters, and I know because the problem is with their parents as well. And I've talked about this in detail in many places. The parents need to be made to understand, I mean, it's a big problem. But responsibilities, it's not just that you do your job, you do your pleasure, and that's it, finish, and no problem, and no responsibilities. That's not the concept of a marriage. You have to, as you take the pleasure and you take the benefits of the marriage, you also have to deal with the responsibilities. It brings good qualities and characteristics in a human being in order to love and share and care for one another, and you have these responsibilities of married life. Men have responsibilities, women have responsibilities, husbands have responsibilities, wives have responsibilities. It's not just about just enjoying and that's it. But remember, if you have love and a marriage is based on love and there is peace and there's tranquility and it's based, most importantly, it is based on the guidance of the Qur'an and Sunnah, and according to the way shown to us by the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then these responsibilities will also seem like good pleasure to you. This is a very important point to remember. You enjoy the responsibilities because you love and care the other person. It's not a problem for you. Many, you know, verses of the Qur'an that indicate the importance of marriage. وَأَنْكِحُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nur, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَصَالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. That this is a command Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the guardians, the parents. Those who are not married, ayam, plural of ayam, which means, which includes all types of unmarried people. Whether it's a widow or a divorced person or just unmarried. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Marry off your non-married people amongst you, ayama minkum. وَالصَّالِحِينَ, ayama is referring to the women. Marry off your female, non-married female people, members of your family. وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ إِمَائِكُمْ وَإِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Male and female. وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. The pious people from your male and your female. And if they are fuqara, if they are poor and they don't have money, a lot of times people say they don't have the necessary financial means to marry. If you have the real good proper intention to marry and you do it for the sake of Allah, then يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide means with which you can support your family and you can get married. So there are many verses, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another verse of the Quran where he says, فَانْكِحُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. Famous verse. Marry women of your choice. And which also, you know, talks to women that you should marry. Marry women of your choice. فَانْكِحُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. Which is two, three or four, and if you can't, you just listen one. That's a famous verse, and there's another topic about polygamy. I don't want to go into that topic, otherwise we'll be here for another hour. But there are many. There's a verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجْعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. It was, marriage was the practice, and that's why I really want to bring up this topic of the importance of marriage. We need to understand how important and significant and relevant marriage is, and then we need to know why we are marrying. What are the intentions? What are the reasons? What are the objectives behind marriage? So Allah says, all the prophets, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجٌ وَذُرِّيَّةٌ. Verily we have sent many prophets, O Messenger of Allah. We have sent many, many prophets before you. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. And we made for them wives and children, all of them. وَجَعَلْنَا most, all of them. I mean, the scholars state that there's only two prophets who never married. All the prophets, from Prophet Adam عليه السلام, peace be upon him, all the way to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the prophets married. Except two. Sayyidina Isa, Jesus عليه السلام, peace be upon him. And Yahya عليه السلام, because Allah talks about him in the Quran. وَسَيِّدًا وَحَسُورًا وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Only two prophets, for some reason. But all the prophets, and the most important thing is that the Messenger of Allah, the final prophet, our Prophet, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himself married. That's enough for us as an example. There is no rahbaniyah for Islam. The rahbaniyah of Islam, it's a hadith as well. There's no celibacy in Islam. It's not like, you know, that you just stay worshipping Allah and you don't marry like in other religions. Islam realizes and recognizes the fact that a human being has urges, needs, desires, wishes. He needs to fulfill them. Not like, you know, say that you can't fulfill your desire, but then, you know, hiding in, going to the back room and abuse a child. Supposed to be a priest. Islam realizes, recognizes, we know what happens. Islam realizes that regardless, if you're the greatest human being on the planet, you can be the prophet of Allah, the final prophet, yet you need to marry. So, and there's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he said, Sunan al-Tirmidhi Abu Ayyub al-Ansari narrates from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he said, أَرْبَعٌ مِّن سُنَنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. There are four ways from the ways of all the prophets. الْحَيَاءُ وَالتَّعَطُّرُ وَالسِّوَاكُ وَالنِّكَاحُ. Four things that is the... There are four things which are from the sunans, the practices, the ways of all the prophets. What are they? Number one, الْحَيَاء, modesty. All the prophets were modest. تَعَطُّر, putting on nice fragrance. And number three, using the siwak. You know, brushing your teeth and using the siwak. وَالنِّكَاحُ, and marriage. All the prophets, sunnah of all the prophets. Once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous hadith, he was addressing a group of youth, youngsters, and he said to them, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ, O group of youngsters, مَنْ اِسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاءَ فَلَيْتَزَوَّجْ. If one of you is able and capable and financially able to marry, then فَلَيْتَزَوَّجْ, you should marry. فَلَيْتَزَوَّجْ. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and the one who is not able to marry, financially not in a position, and not capable, and not able to marry, then what should he do? Because he doesn't have the financial means. Then فَعَلِهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, then he should keep a fast. Because فَإِنَّهُ, marriage itself, he said, the reason why you should get married, فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ. Because marriage will protect you, your eyesight, and protect you from casting evil glances at unlawful things that you are not supposed to see, which includes everything. And وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ, it guards your modesty. Marriage makes, you know, guards your modesty. It's a cause of chastity, a human being. You know, the male and the female, they become close to Allah. They are able to save themselves from sin. And then he said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, the one who is not able to marry, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ, then he should give a fast. Why? Because فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Because fasting is a shield. And this is the reason why we fast in the month of Ramadan. One of the reasons why we fast in Ramadan is fasting in itself has, you know, eating less in itself covers or quenches the sexual appetite of a human being. Eat less. You know, somebody comes to me and says, once, brother came to me, I have a lot of sexual urge. I said, eat less. He said, tell you're eating too much. And watch what you eat. No, really. I'm not joking. And watch what you eat. There are foods that you are supposed to not eat and avoid. And there are types of food that you should eat. You know, if you have those books, manuals, sexual etiquette. Some of these books, they have like a list of foods. These are foods good for you, which you need to eat when you get married, and these are the ones you shouldn't eat. But really, you need to, because this is the guidance given. Eating less in itself, it stops and prevents a person from sinning. Eating less. But you know, sometimes, One person came to me and he asked me, he said, look, you know, in Ramadan, forget, you know, my desires being less, my desires become more in Ramadan. He said, fasting, I fast. I said to him, what did you have in iftar? He said, in iftar I had biryani, this rice, this, that. Then what happened? After Taraweeh, we had a pizza and a doner kebab. And then what happened? After that, we had another cup of tea and some biscuits. And then in suhoor time, oh, we had a nice, big, massive lunch, you know, food as well at suhoor time, cream, honey, eggs, this, that. I said, of course, your desire is going to increase rather than decrease. You're eating more in Ramadan. So it's not just fasting. You know, we need to understand this hadith. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is important to remember, when he said that fast, because fasting is a protection that it doesn't just mean just to fast, it means to eat less. It is referring to the fast that was observed and kept by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions themselves, and the Messenger of Allah himself, where the suhoor and iftar was just on barely on a few dates and water of zamzam. That's the type of fasting he's talking about, not the type of fasting we have in our mind. So fasting, you know, quenches the sexual urge of the person. This is the hadith which shows the importance. You know the famous hadith where a few companions came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahih Muslim, that, you know, they came and asked one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, what does he do inside his house? You know, does he do a lot of ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc.? And then they made a resolution that one of them said, you know what, I'm never going to marry. And another companion said that, I will pray all night. Wallahi la anamu, I will never go to sleep. And the other one said, la tazawaj, wallahi la tazawaj, by Allah, I will never marry. And the other one said, what was the third one, what did he say? That I will not marry, staying awake all night, and yeah, I'll keep on fasting throughout. Yes, keep on fasting. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home and he heard from his wife that this is what these people said. He said, ما بال أقوام قالوا كذا وكذا. What's wrong with these people who said such and such thing? ما بال أقوام قالوا كذا وكذا. And then he said, أصلي وأنام. I go to sleep and I stay awake at night. I take it easy. I don't, you know, just all the time just keep on praying and worshipping Allah. أصلي وأنام وأصوم وأفطر. I keep a fast sometimes, and then I don't keep observe a fast. وَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ أَنَا أُوصُ مَعِ الْوِمِنِ. And then he said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. This part of the hadith is with this, not with the nikah from sunnati, by the way. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my way, from my sunnah. And the ulama states here that out of rejection, then this person is not from me. The one who turns away from the sunnah of marriage, this person is not from the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not being from me, meaning he's not on my way, my path, my method. According, he's not on the guidance given by me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever marries, فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ إِيمَانُهُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ إِيمَانِهِ. Whoever marries, his half of his iman and faith has been complete. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِ. He just needs to refrain from sins. He just needs to fear Allah in the remaining half. Meaning that half of the sins a human being carries out in his life, they are to do with his sexual desire and need and urge. Think about our own selves. Think, what are the sins I do? This sin, that sin, that sin, that sin, and see, after that, you find that 50% or more are to do with the sexual urge and need. A person marries with the right intention, in a right way, in a right manner, according to the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will gain his benefits. All these benefits are only if you marry according to the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is reward, you know, even in the sexual, you know, relationship a man has with his wife, a husband has with his wife, the sexual intimacy that takes place between the husband and the wife, there is reward in that as well. How complete is our religion? Subhanallah. You know, you even get reward in the sexual relationship a human being has with his spouse. Really, this is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that, you know, some people came and said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلِ الدُّثُورِ. The people of wealth, they've gone away and they've taken away all the reward. بالأجور. ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. The people of wealth, they've taken away all the rewards. Why? Because they pray, we pray. They give zakat, we give zakat. They do hajj, we do hajj. They fast, we fast. But then they've got money extra additional to donate and give in the path of Allah. So they've got more reward. We don't have money to give in the path of Allah to gain extra reward. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the companions that there's many, many ways, different ways and forms of you getting reward. Don't worry about it. And the way he used wisdom and hikmah, and he said to them, he said, look, kullu takbiratin sadaqa. Every takbir is sadaqa. Every time you say Allahu Akbar, that's charity, sadaqa. Wa kullu tahmidin sadaqa. Every time you say Alhamdulillah, sadaqa, charity. Wa kullu tahlilatin sadaqa. Every time you say La ilaha illallah, sadaqa. Wa amrun bil ma'roof sadaqatun. Wa nahyun anil munkari sadaqatun. Enjoining the good. Every time you tell somebody something good, sadaqa, charity. Every time you forbid the evil and you stop and prevent somebody from doing something wrong, but remember, you need to do it in wisdom and a lot of hikmah. That's another topic. Then that's sadaqa and charity. And then he said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. And each one of you having sexual intercourse with your spouse, it's an act of reward and charity. Just like saying La ilaha illallah, having sexual intercourse is the same having in reward. Charity. But remember, right intention and according to the guidance given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the companions asked, he said, oh Messenger of Allah, you know, we don't understand this. Like some of you might not understand this now. They asked the same question. He said, one of us, we just go and fulfill our own desires and wishes, and how can you get reward in that? أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُونَ أَهْلَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٍ. How can a person just go and have sexual, he enjoys it, he's got pleasure, and he gets reward. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٍ. What's your opinion? What do you think? If he went and fulfilled his sexual need or her sexual need in an unlawful manner, okay, then wouldn't he be sinning? Companion said, Bala, of course, why not a Messenger of Allah? So he said, فَكَذَلِكَ إِنَا likewise, if he wants to, إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٍ. If he fulfilled his sexual needs and desires in a lawful and halal way, then he will get reward. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using qiyas. But that's another topic, qiyas. You know what that is. And you know, one of the scholars, once somebody wasn't marrying, and one of the scholars said to him, he said, look, I tell you, there's only one reason. مَا يَمْنَعُكَ مِنَ النِّكَاحِ إِلَّا عَجْزٌ أَوْ فُجُورٌ. مَا يَمْنَعُكَ مِنَ النِّكَاحِ إِلَّا عَجْزٌ. One of the tabi'i, he said, مَا يَمْنَعُكَ مِنَ النِّكَاحِ إِلَّا عَجْزٌ أَوْ فُجُورٌ. You're not marrying because it's either you're incapable of marrying, and you understand what that means, or you just want to fulfill your desires in an unlawful way. Only two reasons. That's not the case with everybody, by the way, so don't go and tell somebody that you're not marrying, there's only two reasons. Okay? But we have to understand the importance of marriage. Marriage is an ibadah. It's not just a worldly act, it's an ibadah. It's a form of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many, many maqasid. As I said, we need to understand the objectives, the maqasid, the intentions, the aims and goals of marriage. Why do you marry? Do people know why they marry? Anybody? Why do you marry? Why does a person, not you, specifically, but why does a person, human being, marry? Well, okay, so no, anything else? Anybody?
To save one from sin.
Okay, that's been mentioned. Anything else? Having children is one reason. Okay, three. Anybody else?
Security.
What do you mean by security? peace, contentment of the heart, peace, security, okay, no problem. Anybody else?
Not just
Islam. Yeah, sure. Anybody else with another reason, motive, objective, aim, goal, purpose to marry? Anybody else with anything else? Yes, that's also a reason, discipline. These are the many, many reasons. Just one left. I mean, you've covered. When I've asked the question, if I can have your attention, inshallah. Most of these, you've mentioned them. There's only one remaining. There are many reasons why you get married. Number one, it's the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that in itself is enough as a reason. Enough as a reason. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, married, that's it, full stop. We don't need to know the reasons and the wisdoms behind it. That's enough as a reason. It's his way, it's his path, and it's his, the way he practiced, and he encouraged us to marry. But there are many, many other, you know, maqasid, objectives. Having children is one. Okay, having children is one of the many. It's not only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَزَوَّجُوا فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ تَنَاسَلُوا تَكَاثِرُوا تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمِ I will outnumber all the other various ummah by the amount of you on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ in the Qur'an, you know, after Ramadan, when you finish your fast in the nights of Ramadan, the verse of the Qur'an says that you can have sexual intercourse with your spouse. فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ and seek that which Allah has ordained and written for you. The scholars of tafsir, the commentators of the Qur'an, they mention that the meaning here, seek, refers to. And tafsir ibn Kathir, Imam ibn Kathir, quotes this from many sahaba and tabi'in, radiallahu anhum. Abu Huraira and many others, that they all said seeking here is to have children. But that does not mean that contraception is totally unlawful. That's another topic. I've got a whole book on that, you can read that. But birth control and abortion, I think he also pointed out to that. So one of the reasons is to have children as well. And then remember, not just producing any children. Children and taking the responsibility of looking after the children and giving them a right, correct Islamic tarbiyah, upbringing. Not just producing children who will just roam around the streets and just, you know, do whatever they want to do. You know, tarbiyah, good tarbiyah. And children, these children will actually intercede for the parents. The hadith says that any woman who has one child who passes away, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said two, and then the companion said even one, he said even one. Be a shield for the parents. You're always in benefit. If the child dies before the parents, will do shafa'ah, intercession. Will become a shield for the parents. And if the child dies afterwards, then we'll make dua. One of the forms of sadaqah al-jariyah. That it's ongoing charity. Sadaqah, sadaqatun jariyah. Ongoing charity, which is in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only three things benefit you after you pass away. And one of that is a child. وَلَدٌ صَالِحْ يَدْعُوا لَهُ That makes a dua. So you're always in having benefit. You know, you're always benefiting. Whether the child dies before you or it dies after you. So having children as well is... But as I said, you know, these... And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pride himself on the Day of Judgment by the Muslim population, by the people of his ummah. But remember, he will not pride himself with children who have left the path of Islam. He'll pride himself in children who practice Islam. So that's why children who have a good Islamic tarbiyah, moral upbringing. And then one of the main reasons, and this is very important, a lot of people forget this. We said chastity. Ta'affuf in Arabic. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ Marriage keeps your gaze low. It stops you, prevents you from committing that which is unlawful. And marriage stops you and prevents you from committing a sin, fornication, and all the rest of the sins. So chastity is a very important reason, but remember, you should get married with a very important intention, which is that it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned that, just briefly, just pointed out towards it. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a woman and a man get married for the intention, with the intention that we are getting married for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to please our Lord and Creator, and in order to help one another get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in order to strengthen our faith and iman, then this will be a very, very, an extremely prosperous marriage. Do we think about that when we get married? We're just thinking about going to the hotel. Do we think about that? We need to think about this, that we're getting married for the reason that this spouse will meet. That's why you need to find somebody. I know time, I want you to talk about what to look for, you know, suitable spouse. This was like an introduction. I don't know how many said I did. I'll just do a few more inshallah. So this is a very important intention. Therefore those who are of you who are not married yet, make this firm intention. But when we get married, we want to find somebody who will help me strengthen my iman, will strengthen my faith, help me and assist me in my way, in my spiritual path, in my path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the type of person you want to get married to. And really this will help you and you will have a prosperous marriage. A person who practices Islam and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follows the ways of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their life is based on the Quran and Sunnah. You see that, you know, family, this paradise of their homes. And those who have no regard for the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran, and no regard of Islamic teachings, apparently it may even seem that they are happy. It's just for the cameras. You go and ask them what's happening in their private lives. It's just for the cameras. It's just a deception. So this is a very, very important reason that you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another very important reason as well is that you are taking in your responsibility, in your care, a fellow human being that you want to care for and look after. A lot of people forget this intention as well. Do you understand? Because your spouse, at the end of the day, is a human being, not an animal. Even though we have to look after and take care of animals as well. And then number two, let alone human beings, even animals. Islam tells us to look after and take care of and not harm animals. A human being, a spouse who's harming his own spouse, husband and wife, treating the, you know, spouse worse than an animal. Number one, human being. Number two, should be a Muslim, he'll be a Muslim. Unless a Muslim marries a somebody from the people of the book. That's another topic that I want to go into. Muslim. Number three, she or he is your spouse. Three reasons for you to really take care of this person who's in your life. Look after them. Anything and everything you do for them, you get reward. And you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To please our Lord and our Creator. With that intention, with this intention, you marry that, look, I am taking in my custody. And both men and women, men have more responsibilities, of course, according to Islam. But women have responsibilities as well. Both of them share and care and take the responsibility that we are taking in our care somebody who we will look after, we will take care of, we will treat them, honor them, look after them, and share with them. With this intention, we will also get a reward. And this is why the things to look for in a spouse, I mean, the ulama mentioned this, it's a very lengthy topic. But there are, you know, many things to look for when selecting a suitable person for marriage. The first and the foremost and the primary and the most important and significant and relevant is a taqwa, piety. For Muslims, that's the most important thing. Okay, I will explain the term piety, by the way. Piety, this is a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous statement, hadith, where he says, تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ. A woman is married for two reasons, for four reasons. And not just a woman, even a man. It's just that he mentioned women are married for four reasons. But a man is married for four reasons, or a woman is married for four reasons. تُنْكَهُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِنَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. A person marries for somebody's wealth. You want to get married to somebody because he earns £60,000 a week because he's just a footballer? Or he's a 92-year-old man and you're 22 but you just want to marry just so that you just get some of his money? You know what I call that? Somebody who marries just for money, you know what I call that? No offense, but I call that dignified prostitution. And I've mentioned that a few places. If it's only for the sake of money. And even worse, the man marrying because of the woman's wealth. You've become the wife. The man... Really, in reality. Because the man, according to Islam, whose responsibility is to support. The woman can work. There's no problem. As long as, according to Islamic guidance, the woman can work. No problem whatsoever. But according to the Islamic rulings, a woman, every single penny she earns is in her pocket or in her purse. A man does not have a right to a single penny of her money unless she wants to give it. All the taking care of financial responsibility is in the hands and on the shoulder of the man. It's his responsibility. And the man is marrying because the woman's rich. He's become the wife and she's become the husband. The roles have reversed, you know, tables have turned. So لِمَالِهَا. Some people only for the sake of money. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, some people marry for the sake of wealth, for the sake of money. لِمَالِهَا وَلِنَسَبِهَا. Some people just for lineage. From this family, that background, that ethnicity, that culture, this, that. Islam totally rejects that. Okay, and I'll just come to that as well in the next point. لمالها ولنسبها ولجمالها. Some people only and solely for the sake. Remember, I am saying only and solely for every single reason, because it's not totally wrong to keep, or totally, you know, it's not that we don't consider all of these at all. For beauty, solely for beauty. Okay? And remember, beauty is not just what you see all the time. There's much, much more to beauty than just, you know, looking nice. That's another topic as well. Sorry. لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا, only for beauty. وَلِدِينِهَا, and some people marry. The most important factor which they consider when looking for a person to marry is their piety, their religious inclination, their practicing of Islam, and their piety, and their taqwa, and their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their good character. لِمَالِهَا وَلِفَضْفُرْبِذَاتِ. Make sure you are from those people who select and choose a person to marry because of their deen, and because of their piety and taqwa, and fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this word deen, it's a very comprehensive word. The problem is that today we have misunderstood this word. Some people think deen means the one who prays, that's it. Some people think deen, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your main factor in looking for a spouse should be its deen. Some people think it's just to pray. Something is just to do hajj, hajj istab. You know, some people think it's just for umrah. Something is just zakat. Something is just to dress like a Muslim. Or somebody is just wearing a hat. Or somebody thinks it's just to keep a beard. Remember, deen is a comprehensive word term. It's not just certain things in certain societies and cultures that we think and consider them to be deen. Some cultures just think that, oh, you know, like a lot of times people say, wow, I met a really good Muslim, you know, he mashallah had a long beard and a jubba. You've already decided because he's got a long beard and a jubba. That's not just only deen. Very rarely do I hear and come and hear from somebody saying, you know what, I met a really beautiful, really nice Muslim, mashallah, never backbited in their lives. Never. Because even the people who are so-called practicing, they backbite all the time. The biggest, you know, disease of the society, backbiting, riba. Al-ghibat wa shaddu min al-zina. So, deen is a comprehensive word. You have to look at many things. What is deen? Deen, number one, you look at the aqidah. The first and foremost is the first is aqidah, belief. Is aqidah correct? Okay, I don't want to go into the specifics of that term. But you need to see whether the aqidah is correct or not. And don't be very, very narrow-minded in your, you know, definition of whose aqidah is correct or not. Just broaden up a bit and, you know, take it easy. Otherwise you just end up without being married, all the else. So aqidah, the first thing, very important. And then number two, deen also, ibadat. Outward worship, ibadat refers to performing salah, zakat, hajj, umrah, you know, outward worship. Number three, deen also refers to social dealings, mu'ashara and mu'amalat. When you want to get married to somebody, when you're looking for a brother to get married to, or a sister to get married to, you need to see how the dealings are. This brother is doing business, did he take a loan last month and he said to pay back in 2 days and he still hasn't paid? Don't get married to a brother like that. If a brother is, you know, he's taking loan and he's not paying off his debts and his money and he's just, you know, unlawfully consuming people's wealth. Mu'amalat, business transactions, dealings, mutual dealings. You need to be absolutely sure that this person's mutual dealings with other people, his dealings are correct. He doesn't deceive, he doesn't lie, there's no deception involved in, you know, ayatul munafiqi thalath. The signs of a hypocrite are three. When he speaks, he says a lie. And when he makes a promise, he breaks a promise. One of the greatest of sins is breaking a promise. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Sign of being a hypocrite. Ayatul nifaq. That when he makes a promise, he breaks a promise. And وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When he's given a trust, he breaches that trust. These are all social dealings a person needs. If he is not, you know, in accordance with the teaching of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to social and mutual dealings and transactions, then this person has a problem. He's not considered to be a practicing brother, even if it's got a beard all the way to his belly button. Okay, I'm not saying that in a way because, you know, there's a ruling on that anyway, but this person, you need to be very, very careful. Okay, mu'amalat wa mu'ashara. And number four, akhlaq, character, wa suluk, really the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody should not misunderstand me and take things out of context, because I really fear that. Sometimes I say something and somebody takes something else out of context. It's a sunnah, and according to many ulama, it's wajib, and you should be keeping the beard. But that's another topic. Because I'm not talking about that topic, that's why I'm saying something else at the moment. I hope you are intelligent, you know what I'm trying to say. So, number four, akhlaq and suluk, good character, good manners. Very important. You want to get married to a sister? Find out about her good character and her good manners. About her behavior. Does she become very angry? Does she always fight? Does she always quarrel? Has she got a lot of jealousy, hatred, always, you know, tail-bearing and backbiting and relating something from here and going to say something there and doing this and doing that and, you know, talking behind people's backs and, you know, just bickering with people and just always, you know, into problems? And that's the type of sister you want to avoid. I gave an example for a brother in the first scenario. Now I'm giving an example of a sister. For no special reason. But you have to be very careful. These are akhlaq, manner and character of a sister or a brother. Jealousy, hatred, you know, you need to find somebody. When you go and investigate, somebody says, okay, there's a proposal, there's a sister available, mashallah. This is what you want to find out. How good is she in her character? That's why many ulama say that husnul sirah is better than husnul surah. Somebody beautiful. Having, you know, being handsome and beautiful, because that doesn't last. You know, once you get married, you know, afterwards you spend your time, all your life, with somebody waking up next to the same person every single day of your life. You see that person's face 24 hours a day. Okay? You become used to it. You still, of course, there needs to be attraction, but the beauty is the character. That's the beauty. Somebody who speaks to you in a nice tone, gentle tone. There's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the best ni'mah and the best gift for a man is al-mar'atu saliha, a pious woman. And then he described who a pious woman is. He didn't say a pious woman is the one who just wears a niqab. Okay? He didn't say the one who just covers the head. He didn't say that. Example for a marriage, a pious woman is that إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّجْهُ. When you look at her, she makes you happy. وَإِن أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتْهُ. When you command her, when you tell her to do something, she, you know, willing. In the middle of the night, you just feel that, you know what, I'm feeling a bit thirsty. It's okay, I'll bring the water. Otherwise, you know what, you go and get it. You get it, what should I get it for? I'm not saying that the wife has to always get it. A nice husband will think that she's sleeping and I'll go and get it as well. But this is just talking about the woman. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, you even feel like doing something and she will do it for you. And you just look at her and you become happy. This is, you know, somebody who talks in a nice, gentle tone, who is very, very sweet. The hadith, and this is in the words of the hadith, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَّةِ. Marry women who are loving. Who are, you know, who are loving and who procreate in great number, who can give birth to children. Some of the ulama stated that how do you know that they will give birth to a lot of children? So they said that you need to look at the family. That if they, you know, if the mother, if she has another 8 siblings, then you know that she will also, inshallah, have a lot of children. Tazawwajul wadud al walud. This is in the commentary of the hadith. But marry women who are loving. And the other hadith, what's the other hadith? But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that yes, عليكم بالأبكار فإنهن أعذب أفواها وأنتقوا رحاما وأرضى باليسير. Get married and marry women who are virgin. Okay, here as well the explanation is given that does not in any way, shape or form mean that you overlook those who are not virgin. First of all, the definition of who is a virgin or not, that's another story altogether. The definition according to Islam when you're married is the person who has not been married before. Okay, that's the definition, full stop. As, you know, you don't need to disclose your past. I mean, you know, when men always try to go and find out, is she a virgin or not? What guarantee is it that the man is a virgin? You know? You want a virgin, can you guarantee as well that you're a virgin as a man? So, but the definition is that you've never been married before. And that doesn't also mean that widowed women or divorced women should be looked down upon. No, Islam encourages them to marry. I mean, this is a problem in our culture and society. Women who are divorced and the husband passes away, that's it, they never marry all their lives. Completely jahiliya practice. This is a practice of the days of ignorance, pre-Islamic Arabia. So he said, marry abkar. Why? One of the good qualities, فَإِنَّهُنَّ أَعْذَبُ أَثْوَاءً عَذْبًا, because they have very sweet mouths. Doesn't mean they taste like sugar. They're very sweet mouths. Maybe they might taste like sugar. فَإِنَّهُنَّ أَعْذَبُ أَثْوَاءً وَأَنْدَقُ أَرْحَامًا. They conceive very easy. وَأَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرٍ. Another quality to find, so find somebody who is very sweet. Very, very sweet. And somebody who's أَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرٍ, who becomes happy and content with less. Not always asking you for a, you know, Mercedes, or, you know, always saying, where's my mansion, and, you know, you haven't got any money, and go and earn more. وَأَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرٍ. Women like that, who are content and happy with less, who are soft in the tone and in the manner of speaking. These are the types of women the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged men to marry. So, first thing to look for is, we said aqidah. Okay, deen was the main primary chief aim and objective that you looked at. Deen, which is a comprehensive word, which includes aqidah. Having a correct belief in Islam, which also includes ibadah, outward worship, which includes akhlaq, good character and manner. And rather, you know, a lot of times I tell some of the brothers who come to me, I said, one brother came to me and said, you know, there's two sisters. One sister just fully covers herself, full niqab from head to toe, full drugs, this, that and the other. But there's another sister who just covers her head, and she's just wearing hijab. But the one who's just wearing hijab, she's, her character and manner is, in his words, he said, sublime. You know, absolute, you know, brilliant character and manner. She's very well managed. The other one, she's good, but, you know, she can become a bit angry. I said, what are you thinking about? How can you even think about which one to marry? Without a doubt, you get married to the one who doesn't cover her face. And to the point, I said to him, even if she wasn't covering her head, you should marry her. Really, this is not something un-Islamic I am saying. It's totally in accordance with the teachings of Islam. Because why? Afterwards, if she's got good character and manner, and you teach her, and you implement the laws of Islam, you practice Islam yourself in a nice, gentle way, her good, sublime character will cause her to cover her hair, which is farad according to Islam. Whereas the other one, even though she's covered, but internally, you know, she'll be bickering and fighting and arguing, and there may be a reason sometimes she might become so angry, so I'm taking off the hijab, how do you know? And this is not just a joke, it's happened, people do that. You know when people become angry? People leave their faith when they become angry. Really, I mean, I come across, you'd be amazed, amazing type of incidents and problems that come to me day and night. I have to listen to people on the phone, it's very tiresome. But sometimes, before I used to be shocked, but now nothing shocks me, because I've heard the most shocking thing ever. But there are cases where people, husband and wives, these are so-called practicing, you know, one wife phoned me and said, husband, 5-10 prayers, this, that, everything. When he becomes angry, he starts uttering words of kufr. I hate Allah, وَلِيَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ اللَّهِ سَيْبَ سُمْ. Really? So this is al-mar'u, the hadith said, al-mar'u makhbu'un tahta lisanihi. A human being is hidden under his tongue. You don't know the true reality of the human being until when he becomes foul-mouthed. That's why the hadith, the ayatul munafiq, the fourth thing in another riwayah, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When he starts arguing, a man, he's okay. When he's nice and, you know, when there's no problem, no disputes, no argumentation, nothing, no quarreling, then he's fine. His speech, tone, nice, mashallah, very good. But وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ, when the going gets tough, when there's a problem, when he's in a dispute, that's when he becomes foul-mouthed. And that's when he starts swearing and arguing and saying all sorts of, you know, utterings of kufr and everything. That's when you detect a person's reality and the truth of the person. So quickly, I'm just going to finish this. Piety, deen is number one. Number two, second consideration when selecting and choosing a person to marry is kafa'a. Kafa'a means compatibility, suitability, kafa'a. Many verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, وَالْأَيِّمُ إِذَا وَجَدْتَ لَهَا كُفْوًا. If you find a suitable and compatible person for a woman who's not been married, then just marry them off. So kafa'a, suitability. Now what does suitability mean? Suitability does not mean that somebody has to be from the same caste, same background, ethnicity. No. Islam talks about suitability. And we need to explain this concept to the parents. Islam talks about suitability, compatibility, having things in common, having same aims, goals, aspirations in life, having same kind of understanding. Okay? And if you're Islamic, your ultimate aim and goal is to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn your deen and be a pious, good, practicing, nice, beautiful Muslim. And your spouse has the same ultimate aim and goal and purpose in marriage. And that's kufr, that's suitability. Regardless of whether you're a Pakistani and she's Chinese. Or she's Japanese and you're from Bulgaria, for example. Or you're Pakistani and Bangladeshi or an Arab or a Gujarat Indian. Okay? Because, sometimes suitability and compatibility is without doubt being from the same caste. It helps sometimes being suitable. Okay? Sometimes it may be. But not necessarily all the time. And to insist and demand and insist and persist and be very, very extreme on the point that you must marry my sister's son and my brother's daughter. Only for the sake of, you know, just pride and just for the sake of family values and just for what people will say, this is wrong on behalf of the parents. And the parents are not here, that's why I don't want to go into that topic. But that's the topic for them. They need to be made to understand, really, in a nice, gentle, respectful way. Never confront your parents, because that's totally unlawful to disrespect them. There are certain times where you can disobey parents, okay, because the ruling of obedience is not absolute. It's not absolute. There are certain times you can disobey them. Like for example, if they command you to do something haram, you must disobey them. But one right of the parents that is absolute, there's no ifs and buts, they always deserve that right, which is respect. Even if they're kafir, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Do not obey them if they command you to leave Islam, but be good and gentle in the world with them, respect them. So respect is an absolute type of right which parents have. So, but this, you know, just Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. We've created you from a man and woman. The only reason why, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا. We've made you into different tribes so that you know one another. إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. There are five Abdullahs, so you don't know which Abdullahs from where. You know, Abdullah, how do you recognize one Abdullah from another? So this one's from India, this one's from Pakistan, this one's from Bangladesh, and this one's from, you know, Syria, for example. That's the only reason. لِتَعَارَفُوا. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa. So compatibility is having things in common. Many sahaba radiallahu anhum married outside their caste. Many companions. Even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married outside his caste and his group. So it doesn't necessarily have to be within your ethnicity, within your caste, and within your, you know, like family background. It doesn't have to be. I was going to say something, but it just slipped my mind. Anyway, that was the number two, suitability and compatibility. The third reason to consider, which everybody does consider, and I don't really need to go into, is beauty, attraction. You know, feeling, you need to feel, you need to be attracted. There is a reason that can be considered. You don't totally just overlook this aspect. What is one of the main reasons of marriage? Some of you mentioned one of the reasons of marriage was to, you know, chastity, to stay away and refrain from sins. If you're not attracted to your husband or your wife, how are you going to stay away from sins? You will still be, you know, back to square one, involved in sins. So jamal, beauty. But as I said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, it's not just how they look, it's about their character as well. So that's something you can consider. But that should not be your ultimate aim and objective and goal. You have two brothers or two sisters, they are both equally, you know, pious, good character, good manner, mashallah, both sisters are, both are very good. But now, one sister, according to you, we're not saying mutlaqan, according to everybody, but according to your eyesight, one sister is considered to be more beautiful. Then yes, you should go to the one you're attracted more, you know, more attracted more to. So this is one of the reasons as well. And then there are many other how many minutes have we done? An hour, okay. Finish now. 5 minutes, inshallah. I'm finishing. Just quickly, of things. What to look for in a woman. Okay? Just to sort of conclude, summarize everything. Number one, piety. I've just I've got his own notes, these down. You know, I have my own old notes. Number two, affectionate nature. We covered that as well. Affectionate nature, loving, caring, sweet. Number three, obedience. She's very, you know, she has that obedience and respect. See, more important than obedience is respect. A wife who loses respect for her husband, then that marriage in which there's a husband and a wife, where the wife is losing respect, is doomed for failure. Unless, you know, they change their ways. Really, respect is very, very important. A wife needs to think extremely high of her husband to the point that there's nobody on the face of the earth that's better than my husband. Honestly, if a wife thinks like that about her husband, then that marriage will be extremely prosperous. There's nobody on the face of the earth, in this planet and also in the other planets. There's nobody who's better than my husband. Okay? That's in respect. Number four, maturity. To look for maturity is very important. You should look for somebody who's mature. Mature does not mean in age only, mentally mature. You could have a young girl, young woman, and she's mature. And you can have somebody 50 and immature. Like one of the scholars said, there are many 30-year-old immature children walking around the streets. Sometimes people are in their 30s and they still act like children. Maturity is very important. There are times where the husband and wife can act like children as well. But generally in their lives, no, I mean, this is part, you know, when we look at the guidance of the ways of the Prophet of Allah, with Aisha radiallahu anha. But generally, she's mature. She has, you know, the capacity to think soundly. She can make a bit of some decisions. And, you know, also one thing to look out for, which some of the ulama mentioned, this was number four. She comes from, this is not absolutely necessary, and it's not a 100% rule, but she comes from a good, stable background family. You know, stable background, because sometimes that has an effect on a woman. But it's not a rule that is 100%. You know, there are exceptions to this ruling. And number six, satisfied nature. She's content with less. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number seven, nadafa, tahara, purity. Which is half of our faith. Al-tahur al-shatr al-iman. Purity is half of faith. And nadafa. So she's, you know, she gives importance to cleanliness. And, okay, and then things to look for men. And finally with this list we finish. Number one, piety again. Number two, very important. He has sufficient halal income. There's something, of course you need to look for income as well. What I was talking about before was like just marrying for somebody who's a multimillionaire and just want money and nothing else. Money and money. Eat money, drink money and sleep money. But here, somebody who has sufficient, what did I say? Sufficient halal income. That's very important. The problem today is that many husbands have haram income, which means that the women in their family and children and everybody, they are not able to eat from that money. They are not able to use that money. Where is he taking his money from? Where is he earning his money from? Halal, lawful money. Is his money unlawful? Is he doing a job that is unlawful according to Islam? Is it based on interest? Does he work for a bank? As you know, that working in a bank is not permitted. Another topic. And number three, basic Islamic knowledge. You should try to, sisters need to look for brothers who should have basic Islamic knowledge. If you want somebody to help you in Islam, if you want somebody to look after you and, you know, sort of take you close to Allah, somebody to strengthen your faith and iman and help you in your, you know, spiritual path, then you need somebody who's got at least basic Islamic knowledge. And every Muslim should have basic Islamic knowledge. The more knowledge they have, the better, but at least the basics. They know what Islam is about. They know about prayer, worshipping Allah. They know about zakat, hajj and fasting. They know about not just these ibadat and worshipping, but they know about these, you know, rules of Islam connected to moral behavior and conduct and character, mu'amalat, dealings and mu'ashara, social etiquettes. They know about how to deal with in-laws and with, you know, father-in-law and with mother-in-law and with daughter-in-law and sister-in-law, and they know how to treat fellow Muslims, they know how to treat non-Muslims, they know how to treat neighbors, they know what the rules of Islam are there. They should know all this, and this is not just that, you need to learn about these things. There are laws in the books of fiqh, of Islamic jurisprudence. about all these issues. So somebody who has basic Islamic knowledge, ta'aleem, so that the husband can sort of teach the wife as well. And number four, maturity. Very, more important than the woman, you need somebody who's mature. Okay, somebody who's mature, a man who's mature. Number five, again, decent family for a man as well, same thing. Number six, generosity. Man is generous, not every time counting his pennies. I've given you 10 pence yesterday, then I've taken another 2 cents. Okay, so open. His hands are open, and his pockets are open. That doesn't mean he's just lashing out and just throwing money that you can buy anything you want every time you want, and no matter. Because you have to get the balance right. But just generally, he's generous. And he has, number seven, a forgiving nature. Somebody who forgives. Allah forgives, why shouldn't we forgive? Ar-Rahimun, Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman, Yarhamu man fil ardi, Yarhamkum man fil samah. Have mercy on the people on the earth, and Allah will have mercy on you. So if Allah forgives, then that every human being should have this forgiving nature. And again, nadafa, purity, purification, cleanliness. Ashirun min al-fitra, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned 10 things are from the ways of the prophets, from the natural dispositions. The ways of the prophets, way of the prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ashirun min al-fitra, like siwak, and cutting of the nails, clipping of the nails, and trimming of the moustache, and lengthening of the beards mentioned there as well. As well as washing of the joints and removing of the hair that needs to be removed, etc., from the pubic and the underarm hair. So these are, a person needs to be clean. So when you go and see a person you want to get married, check his socks. If they're dirty, then you know they're dirty. And number nine, responsibility. So inshallah, if these things finally, ultimately, in conclusion, one lesson you've really learned today, which is very important. When you marry, make your intention that this marriage is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing, for nobody else. And I'm marrying in order that I become close to Allah. You make that intention, firm resolution that I want to be a good Muslim. This marriage is like I'm praying my salah, I'm offering, performing my salah, my prayer, I'm worshipping Allah. This is an act of ibadah, this is an act of worship. If you do it with that intention, then inshallah, you'll have a prosperous marriage and you'll have paradise in this world as well. Jazakallah, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah.